Coming to you from the liberal Northeast. Dynamite in a small package. A prolific conservative blog writer. A brilliant conservative mind. A warrior for the Constitution. A genuine troop supporter. An advocate for the preservation of our God-given freedoms. Taking the fight directly to the conspiracy cultists and liberal crackpots. She's going all out in the war against liberal fascism, radical Islam, and the wanton destruction of our republic. So go ahead, don't be liberal, and call her a hatriot all you want, because she's about to go all out on you. Get ready. It's time for All Out Amy! Amy!
Welcome to All Out Amy, episode 23. This is the Christmas special, and I'm going to do a little bit different today. We're going to do a lot more Christmas music, and some of it you may have heard, some you may not have. Maybe you haven't heard these renditions. I'm going to do some Christmas memories, walk down, ghosts of Christmas past kind of thing, And of course, how can I resist, some of the gifts that the current administration has given us over the last few weeks and some of the gifts that the world has given us over the past few weeks. So, I wanted to start the show off with a song. I don't know if you've ever heard it, and it's in French, so you probably won't even understand the words. But this particular song is... It's basically the bells ringing in the village, and it's sung by, Celine Dion, but it's very, very beautiful. It's one of the Christmas songs from my childhood, and so I'm going to start off with that, okay? So here is Celine Dion singing Les Cloches du Hameau, and this is from her album These Are the Special Times.
Yeah.
Okay, did I mention that I grew up in a very French, French Catholic family? Very French Catholic family. Now it seems like it was a million years away, because I'm in the community. I still live in the basic community. Well, I live in the same community that I lived in all the time growing up. But you know, back then, my parents were older. You know, they called it the Franco-American community. You know, and we went to the French Catholic Church, and we were. Did I mention religious? Very religious. Every holy day of obligation, every station of the cross, every single day, every single time there was something, we were there. And of course, we had to sit within the first four, you know, rows of the first four pews in the church during Mass, or the priest would actually call our names and tell us to get up front if we tried to sit in the back, you know. So, you know, we were like, my mother was a lectern, my father was a lectern, my mother was a song leader. So we were very, very religious. They were older. You know, they had 18 children together. And they spoke French. Some of my older brothers and sisters went to French Catholic school. It shut down by the time I got there. So a couple of my older, a few years older than me, they ended up going to the public school instead of the French Catholic school. We didn't learn French. I mean, grammar school, you know, they went to French Catholic schools, French nuns, they had to speak French. I mean, everything. It was the, you know, thing you see in movies. They looked like the big ducks and, you know, penguins, and they would combine, smack you with a ruler and all that kind of stuff. So by the time I got there in the, you know, early 70s, they were closed down. So we were, you know, walking to public school, and we didn't have any of that in public school in the 70s, so. But it was very much French. My parents spoke French a lot, so that they could talk freely in front of us, and we wouldn't know what the heck they were talking about unless it was some of the older kids, you know, and they didn't really care. But as far as, you know, the whole Christmas thing, you know, we very rarely went to midnight Mass, and you know, I'll tell you, I went to Mass, Catholic Mass, until I made my confirmation in 12th grade. Most people made it in 11th. For some ungodly reason, we made it in our 12th year, and then I didn't go back. I probably didn't go back for maybe 10 years. I don't begrudge anyone their religion, and I am a proud Christian, and I proclaim it, you know, proudly. Never ashamed to say that I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in organized religions. I just don't. And you know, you see what organized religions do in Islam, in the whole pedophilia thing in the Catholic Church, and you know, Jehovah's Witnesses with their mentality, all these different things. It's just like you're led around by the nose like cattle, and that's one thing I'm not. I'm not a sheeple. I'm not cattle. So it drove me nuts. But you know, to honor my parents, I went to confirmation until 12th grade. Didn't go back to church. Really, do I get, you know? Why don't I go back to that? Why don't I? Let me go back to Mass. Oh, I decided on midnight Mass and on one Christmas Eve, and I wanted to kill myself. I couldn't even believe. I mean, the funeral dirges, I had to put basically toothpicks in my eyeballs to keep myself awake. It was just like so. And I know that not all Masses are like that, and I don't begrudge anyone going to Mass, and I don't make fun of anyone going to Mass. If that's what you need, that's what you want, more power to you. I love that people have convictions. Stick to your convictions and don't let anyone sway you from it. But personally, for me, I don't need no stankin' church. I don't need no stankin' building. I'm good with the guy upstairs. He and I are, you know, tight. So, I'm good there. So, anyways. Midnight Mass wasn't usually something we could go to because there were so many of us. Of course, my parents. My parents growing up, they did it the old-fashioned way. They did not even put up the Christmas tree or the trimmings. Nothing. No presents, no Christmas tree, no nothing. No creche, nothing, until we were in bed on Christmas Eve. And then they would spend the night wrapping presents. and packing up the whole entire parlor and putting up the tree and the lights, and, you know, it boggles my mind the way that these people used to do it, because I can't even imagine trying to do that today. And every Christmas Eve, either my father would come in as Santa Claus. They'd make sure I went up on the roof and jingled a few bells, so we thought it was Rudolph. And my parents always owned their own home. They, you know, when they had children, as soon as they had children, they owned their own home. They owned one for the rest until the day they died. They always had two cars. That's why all this crap with this, you know, oh, we're in poverty and people can't make it today. Bullshit. My parents had two cars almost all the time. We had food on the table. Was it great food? No. Did we like it? Probably. You know, most of the time we didn't. But the things that we wish we'd never had to do or see or feel or touch? Yep, absolutely. But we're alive. None of us, I mean, for the most part, my entire family, we're all alive, and none of us have any real debilitating diseases or anything. And, you know, I can't tell you, I've eaten my share of mold, but, when I look at it, my parents owned their own home, they had two cars, we always had a television, you know, and my mother made our clothes, and we made a lot of our clothes, and, you know, my father just busted his ass, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. We'd see him first thing in the morning when he came home on one shift. Would see him at night when he, you know, went to bed. We had Sunday dinner together, but, I mean, we didn't see a lot of him, but the time we did see him, he was, you know, very, very much an involved father. Didn't drink, didn't go out with his friends, none of that stuff. Wherever he went, he took the whole shebang of us. So you picture that in one of these ginormous 1970s station wagons with, you know, 20 people piled in, and we're all singing, you know, 100 bottles of beer on the wall, or Bill Grogan's Goat, or you know, one of these demented songs from the, you know, that people used to sing, and we're hooping and hollering out the windows, and, you know, it's just, we didn't think anything of it. That was our life. Other people probably thought we were absolutely insane, but, you know, we had fun. But one of my mother's favorite Christmas duos was a duo called Sandler and Young, and they were Canadian. One spoke mostly French, the other, they both spoke English and French, but one just had a heavier accent. But this is one of her favorite songs, and it became one of, you know, my family's favorite songs. And my youngest brother actually found the record, he found the record or the CD down in an album swap down in Fort Lauderdale, and he had copies made for all of us. So now we all have a copy of this album that doesn't even exist anymore. So here is Sandler and Young singing Jingle Bells. Again, keep in mind, I grew up in a French household.
J'ai tant rêvé de mon Noël avec de neige, avec des milliards de chants qui me protègent, dans un grand arbre, avec des nuages, avec une étable, comme dans la fable. Jingle bells, ça fait plein de choses, où nous jouons au bruit que j'aime tant. Un roi mélange, on fait l'orange, moi je partage d'ailleurs avec le copain. La chemise de snow, in the one horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing on the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. J'ai tant rêvé de mon Noël avec de neige, avec des milliards de ciels qui chantent et me protègent, d'un grand arbre, avec des lumières, avec une étable, comme dans la fable. Tu veux de table plein de choses, pour nous jouer, pour nous jouer, pour j'aime tant. Un roi mélange, on mélange, moi je partage d'ailleurs avec mes copains. Un roi mélange, on mélange, moi je partagerai d'ailleurs avec mes copains.
So we're back. This is Amy from All Out Amy, and I just want to take a second on this second segment to say Merry Christmas to everyone. And I want to thank DC, who is the owner and the grand fromage of the radio station. You can hear all of our podcasts. We have a number of hosts, Conservative Talk. You can hear us all at chimpseytalk.com. You can hear my podcast if you want to download it or listen later on. It's alloutamy.podomatic.com. And we are on Facebook at Chimpsey Conservative Talk Radio. So give us a listen to all the different hosts. And this show includes my new opener that DC himself did. So I thank you, DC, for that. And so Christmas. Oh, my goodness, Christmas. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Always my favorite time of year. Always was growing up, and I loved Santa. Oh, my goodness, did I love Santa. And as soon as I mentioned, you know, Christmas Eve, my dad used to have either hire someone or he himself would come in as Santa. My dad had those light crystal blue eyes. Of course, half of us have the shit brown, and half of us have, although I love my brown eyes. Mine are actually very light brown, but they have a dark ring, so they look very dark. So, but his were like these crystally ice blue, beautiful blue eyes that you'd picture of Santa, you know. And of course, he was a bear. He had a bear, not a bear belly, but a barrel chest, you know. I mean, my father was, if you picture a dark-haired Popeye, that was my father. He was a sailor. His forearms and his calves were ginormous. I mean, that was the way he was built. He had a big barrel chest. Children loved to fall asleep right on his chest. So he used to come in and, again, jingle jingle on the roof, would think it's Rudolph. All of a sudden the doorbell would ring, and every Christmas Eve Santa would come with a sack and give us each a candy cane and give us each a little, you know, something, so a little gift or whatever. And he made sure he did that until the very last one of us no longer believed in Santa Claus. So that was so special. It was awesome. But me being me, I was the first one on Santa's lap. I'm like, yeah, all right. Now, bolt. I bolted, and I would hop on his lap, and I would kiss him, and I had my arm around him, and I would kiss him, and I would hug him, and every single picture is Amy sitting on Santa's lap. I mean, it's just, I used to hog him. And if I had to get off for any reason, I was standing right aside of him, or, you know. So a little part of me probably always knew it was my father, but, you know, at least the fact that I was very comfortable, you know, when my father was the Santa. And then there was all the strangers who came, and I still jumped on their lap. It didn't matter. He was Santa. I loved Santa. He was like my favorite thing in the world. Outside of Speed Racer, who I used to go up and kiss the television screen when Speed Racer came on. But Santa was, you know, he came once a year. Man, did I love him. My, you know, would get dressed up on Christmas morning. A couple times my mother made matching outfits for all of the girls. God-awful corduroy, you know, the old corduroy that squeaked when you walked. But, you know, mine was red, and it had white lace on it, so I loved it. It was the greatest thing in the world, and I'd just go jump on Santa's lap. And she also used to make us pajamas, so we'd have our pajamas on Christmas Eve. And another tradition that my father always did, Christmas Eve, before we went to bed, we'd all get, you know, brush our teeth, sponge bath, PJs on. He would sit in his rocking chair in the parlor, and all of us would gather around, the littlest ones on his lap, and he would read "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And he read that every year. He had a special green book with all types of stories and old poems, and that was what he read to us every single Christmas Eve. It was a tradition. It was a given. It's what was happening, no matter what. And we all loved it, you know. Obviously, the older people didn't continue to do it, but all of the younger ones did. And my mother always took the pictures, and, you know, she was a picture hound. You wonder where I get it from. She was the epitome of class, and the way she walked with one toe in front of the other, and her nose held high, and just, she always, a woman of small stature, but boy, was she filled a room when she was in it. So she was always the picture taker, things like that, but she'd basically have to drag me off Santa's lap. So one of my father's favorite groups is called the Mills Brothers. His favorite song in the world is Paper Doll, and he always loved that. Basically, that was one of his favorite songs in the world. And he loved the Mills Brothers. So here's the Mills Brothers singing Here Comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeers pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Now listen, children, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed, cover up your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, loves you just the same. Santa knows that we're God's children, that makes everything right. Fill your hearts with the Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when the chimes ring out, it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. Let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa comes tonight.
Ah, yes, Santa, Santa Claus. Some people don't believe in Santa Claus. Some people do. I've always told children, even after they don't believe anymore, that the whole spirit of Santa is still alive. I mean, there was a St. Nicholas, there was, you know, that it would make toys and bring to them and things like that. So there was a real Santa Claus, regardless of what people want to say. There was a real Santa Claus, and it's more the spirit of what he did and what he continues to do today. It's become over, you know, so commercialized, and it's just so gross, and it's so, nowadays, it seems to be so depressing, but there are a few good things that come about, like, you know, the Christmas gifts that the world has given us. You know, it's almost like in my head I'm hearing, the puppet master has left the building. The puppet master has left the building. You know, in reference to the Elvis thing, because our slanderer and thief Obama seems to be losing quite a lot. I'm listening to the guests of the Ayatollah, and it's the Iran hostage crisis, and Jimmy Carter was president, and I god awful as far as I'm concerned. You know, when you read up on it and you see everything that went on and the long lines and just the whole, you know, you stand down, you don't want to hurt anybody, but it doesn't matter if they walk all over us, right? It's the same philosophy that Obama and his puppet masters have today. So, you know, one of the nice Christmas presents that we got was that absolutely orgasmic, you know, it's like Glenn Beck calls it conservative porn, when Obama and Bill Clinton were at the podium, and Obama is to the side with his arm around Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton just wraps his arms around that podium and absolutely takes over. And Obama says, well, I kept my wife waiting, and I don't want to keep her waiting any longer, because they had to go string some Christmas lights or some ridiculous thing. And Clinton looks at him, turns and looks at him and says, yeah, me neither, so go. And then immediately starts pointing to a reporter. Never missed a beat. Now, Clinton, total, as far as I'm concerned, a total dick. But he at least was a politician. He at least had some experience. And he knew how to work that crowd without being, you know, his chin in the air, the arrogant prick that Obama is. It was just, like I said, it was a totally orgasmic experience, and it was a beautiful thing. And so that was one of the presents we got, you know, we conservatives got in the last couple of weeks. Nice Christmas present. And it's almost like the next time Obama is up there and he's reading from his teleprompter and or giving a major speech, God, would I give anything? The other orgasmic experience would be is if all of a sudden the teleprompter just stopped. So can you see him in mid-speech? The teleprompter stops, and over the loudspeaker comes, "Please deposit 10 cents for an additional 3 minutes of teleprompter time. Please deposit 10 cents for an additional 3 minutes of teleprompter time." Oh my God, would that be the funniest thing ever? And I'm sure that everyone listening understands what my reference is. It's the old-fashioned payphones, and the operator would cut in and tell you to, you know, deposit 10 cents. Oh my God, that would be like the funniest thing ever if that happened. That would probably be the best Christmas gift I could get, or that I've gotten in a long, long, long time. But, so, that was just some kind of sick, twisted thing that came into my mind. Another little Christmas present that we got was the WikiLeaks. Now, Assange, at first I'm like, okay, he's a traitor. He needs to be shot. I still think he's a traitor and he needs to be shot. But, you know, everyone's talking about freedom of speech. Yeah. We believe in freedom of speech in America. He's not an American citizen, so he doesn't have the First Amendment. But he is, someone had asked me, what could you even get him on? And first of all, private first class who, you know, magically had access to all of these ultra, you know, super spy, you know, secret squirrel and Morocco mole type of files. He gets in there and he should be shot as a traitor. He should be shot as a traitor. We're fighting two wars, well, pulled out of Iraq, but still, we're still fighting there. We're in the middle of two wars, a third on the horizon, and this jerk off is giving national secrets out for the world to see. So far, I haven't seen all that much that really hurts America, but you never know what the, you know, the ramifications are, and you don't know what else they have. And they have, I'm sure they haven't told us everything, but the, I just thought it was great that, you know, Larry Elder had put out an article this, you know, this past week, and he basically talks about how the WikiLeaks memos exonerates Bush, and that Bush was absolutely right, and that they did have yellow cake and all this kind of stuff, so the war was justified. He talks about how the British intelligence to this day still insists that they, you know, Saddam Hussein had, you know, the makings for weapons of mass destruction. None of that stuff went away. We just don't hear about it anymore because we have our lame stream media that is so far in the Democrats' pockets, it's pathetic. And even Fox would, you know, I suppose if push came to shove, they, you know, if they had it right there and they had it in writing and they weren't going to be ridiculed for it, they might talk about it. But otherwise, they're not talking about it. They're not going to say anything about it. So I just think those are two great Christmas presents that we got, and the puppet master has left the building because Obama's like floundering, you know. Soros, there's a petition out right now on the internet to have George Soros arrested as a traitor. So if you have that, if you're on Facebook, it's going, it's circulating around. I'm sure if you look it up, you can find the petition and, you know, sign it. What harm can it do? At least we'll all be on another list. The presence just rolled in, you know, with Harry Reid stomping off like a child. He killed the omnibus bill, as I call it, and all that pork barrel spending. And yes, the Republicans were just as bad as the Democrats, and they were hypocrites. And all of these people who are in there trying to ignore the American people, giving us the middle finger, you know, telling us they don't give a shit what we want, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, they are gone, as far as I'm concerned, gone. 2012, never to be, you know, elected ever again to any official office, ever. They do not deserve any respect any longer. They deserve no federal jobs, and they really need to just go away. So, with that, I'm going to play another Christmas song. This is one of my favorites. I never hear it on any radio station. My father always did a fantastic Irish brogue, and just because of that, I loved this song. So for you Irishmen out there, here is a great Christmas tune. Bing Crosby sings it, but not nearly as well as this guy. Here's Christmas in Killarney.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice to know to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe, and Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home. The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels. I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
Holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
There was Cousin O'Flaherty, Uncle O'Shaughnessy, Michael, me brother, and Auntie McGee, and Father and Mother were all in a dither when Terence the baby crawled under the tree.
It's nice, you know, to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe, and Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home.
'Twas Paddy Delahanty who dressed up like Santa and gave out the presents like he always does, but Johnny McGee, when he sat on his knee, tried to pull off his whiskers to see who it was.
The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call,
and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all.
How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels.
I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels.
I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you'll never know. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
Okay, I'm back, and that was Christmas in Killarney. Absolutely love that song. It's just so funny. It's so different from the other Christmas carols that we hear all the time. But I was talking about Christmas presents, and, you know, my mother was a beauty. She was the master of disguise sometimes. So in my family, we did not get a lot of sweets. There was, you know, again, 18 of us. My father was the only one working, busting his butt. My mother would bake once or twice a week, and we'd have either cookies or cake or something after supper. But for the most part, there was no soda in the house unless it was a birthday party or a holiday. And we did not, my mother was like a drill sergeant, so you didn't go in the refrigerator unless you asked permission, and she asked you what you needed. If you wanted a drink, it was, there's the tap, get some water. You know, we drank a lot of water growing up. But hey, she made it work. We never wanted for anything. We may have wanted a lot of things, but we never wanted for anything. So, you know, I think people miss that today. They miss the, you know, the what the reality is. Everyone wants everything. You know, everyone wants nice things. Everyone wants a lot of money. Everyone wants the latest and greatest. But if you just can't get it, and if you just can't have it, and you just can't afford it, you just can't afford it. So you make do with what you got. But, you know, and we aspire, and we work towards gaining better and getting more. But if you just don't have it at the time, you just don't have it. So my mother, again, she was a master of disguise. So, you know, here we are, there's a billion of us in the room, and I open up a present, and it's a box of chocolates. Oh my God, I was like, a box of chocolates all to myself? Oh my God, I was in heaven. I tucked that away before anyone could see it. I didn't want anyone to see that I had gotten a box of chocolates for Christmas. I had no idea what anyone else got. Of course, our stockings, the toe was, we used real stockings for most of our lives, and the toe was always stuffed with an apple or an orange, and then some candy in there, but there wasn't a lot of junk food in my house. So when I had this box of chocolates, I was like salivating. I couldn't wait to go and sneak off into my bedroom and hide in a corner and open this box of chocolates. So later on in the day when I did do, you know, such a thing, I opened it up and, oh, crushing blow. There were socks. She had rolled up three pairs of socks and put them in this candy box. Oh man, you gotta, if you should, my face must have been precious, because I'm sure that the crestfallen look on my face was something, you know, it was to die for, I'm sure. So she was very fond of doing things like that. So when you opened a box and it showed a musical, you know, a musical horse or something like that, or, you know, it showed an electric blanket on the box or something, you could never, ever, ever bank on it being what it was on the cover, because my mother would collect the boxes. Who knows where she kept them? I have no idea where she kept it, half these things, but she would collect the boxes, she would use the boxes, and then she would wrap them up, so you could never bank on what was in the box. So it was always, it was like potluck every Christmas. But it made it fun. It made it interesting. I was still devastated that I didn't get my box of chocolates. I really was devastated. I went from like 0 to 60 as far as emotion, or 60 to 0, I should say, in a millisecond. And, you know, we were none the worse for wear. You could see my older brothers and sisters sitting there in the room just wanting to go back to bed so badly. Oh, man. So sometimes you just knew that they absolutely, you know, hated Christmas because of that. They liked the gifts, but they absolutely hated Christmas, having to get up Christmas morning. And I felt like saying, how do you think Mom and Dad feel, you know? they've been up all night wrapping presents, and they haven't gotten any sleep. So I'm going to play another song, another one of my favorite Christmas carols. And this one reminds me of Obama and what I would picture him being like on Christmas morning, growing up. Just, you know, the narcissist that he is. I could just picture him waking up Christmas morning and just saying, all I want for Christmas is, I can't think of anyone better to sing this particular song than Daffy Duck. So here's Daffy Duck singing, all I want for Christmas is more, more, more.
So, how do you figure on the naughty tonight scale, Daffy old pal? Well, since nobody's perfect, guess I ought to stockpile a little insurance here. Nothing like a festive little holiday bash to make up for a couple of little past indiscretions. Forgive and forget, that's what I always say. Sometimes. So here's some sodas and a nice big bag of pretzels. Sky's the limit here at Daffy's Holiday Fest. Come and get it. All I want for Christmas is more, more, more. More than a duck ever got before. Gimme caboodles and oodles and oodles, and soon all my loodle slide out the door. I hope Santa brings a real truckload. It won't all fit into his sleigh. This Christmas I want a real duckload to put the hall in holiday. Hey, hey, hey! Oh, 'tis better to give than receive, they say. I know you've heard that before. I'll give my advice, and that is, it's nice to get more, more, more. Woo-hoo! Let's put the pedal to the metal, Mr. Maestro. All I want for Christmas is more, more, more. More than you might give a dinosaur. I'd like a million, maybe a billion, till I'm too silly and can't keep score. And when Santa comes down my chimney with gifties and goodies galore, I hope he can squish in, 'cause I will be wishing for more, more. Christmas is the spirit of giving, but it's also time to learn to accept gracefully, too. Never look a gift horse in the mouth, especially without a mint to offer him. And never turn your back on a gift horse whose mouth you've just looked into, either. Yes, giving is swell, but so's learning to become a gracious receiver. And the better the giving, the more sincere the thanks. So this goes out to Santa Claus, wherever you are. If yours is silver, then mine must be gold. If yours needs a push, mine's remote controlled. If yours goes whoosh, then mine goes zoom. If yours says rat-a-tat, then mine says kaboom. Very funny. Ha ha. It is to laugh. And when Santa comes down my chimney with gifties and goodies galore, I hope he can squish in, cause I will be wishing for more, 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 more. Okay, big Broadway finish here, Mr. Music Maestro. Wait a second. No, no, my turn. I'm supposed to sing.
So there's Daffy Duck. I mean, I think it's hysterical when I look at Daffy Duck and he reminds me of the President of the United States walking around, arrogant, chin in the air, strutting and stuff like he's, you know, king shit, and everyone's looking at him like he's an idiot. Everyone's discounting what he's saying and everyone is like ignoring him basically. So I kind of think that, and they're both narcissists, so I think that's, if when I try and picture someone come back in the form of a cartoon or an animal, he would be Daffy Duck, I think. Yeah, he's got that high, tight butt, you know, that waddles around, and the chin in the air and the arrogance. He's definitely Daffy Duck. So Christmas in my house, Christmas in my family, never a dull moment. You know, I think about when we look at pictures of when we were kids, and my youngest brother, who happens to be a, you know, homosexual, he, you know, we see these pictures of him dressed up as a cowboy, and we're like, oh boy, you know, he's got guns? Yeah, okay. It's just kind of funny. I mean, he was definitely more, you see the other pictures, and he's definitely more comfortable wearing, you know, my mother's dresses or putting on my mother's wig or brushing the Barbie doll's hair, you know. So when we look back through the pictures, you can definitely tell the difference between my other brothers, who are out there playing tackle football without anything on, you know, playing street hockey and getting their knees and their shins scraped and bruised. And then here's my other brother, who was in the house baking with mom, you know, with an apron on and brushing out the hair. I mean, it's just kind of funny, you know. And I love him to death. We are close. We're very close. I'm hoping to go down and see him soon. But he's just, and he's funny. He's a funny, funny, funny bastard. He has dry sense of humor. He's sarcastic, but in a funny way, and we do nothing but laugh. Everything, whenever he comes up to visit, all of the sisters get together, and we do nothing but laugh. It's just hysterical. So, you know, speaking of guns, so, you know, we see pictures of him with guns, and it's just kind of ironic that he's the last person on Earth who would have a gun. But speaking of guns, did you happen to read and see the article? It was posted in the Houston Chronicle. It was on December 17th. The headline screams, "Owner kills three robbers in jewelry store shootout." Evidently, this guy, he was, they say he's a humble jewelry store owner, and he and his wife are in this store, and they're very generous. They've been there for a long time. And evidently, these three guys come from, there's four people altogether. They only caught three. Well, he killed three. They come in, and one comes in and, you know, pretends like he's looking around, and the man and his wife are showing him the jewelry, and then all of a sudden two more burst through the door with guns blazing, you know. And they all take out their guns, they point it at them, they bring the wife into the back room and tie her up and tie her hands, and before they tie the store owner's hands, the wife says that, you know, it's too tight, can you loosen the binding. So when one of the would-be robbers loosens her ropes and then tells the gun owner to, you know, turn around, he's going to tie him up also, because they're going to rob the store. Gun owner is got his hands behind his back, and he pulls out a gun that was in his waistband, and he shoots him, and then he goes out and he gets his shotgun, and he goes after the other two, and he shoots those two bastards. There was a fourth person outside. I guess it was a driver, you know, getaway car, but they haven't caught him yet. But so here's this guy, you know, older guy, shoots these three robbers. The people in the town are saying it's about time. But the funniest thing to me is that when you read the article, this is in the Houston Chronicle, and it was an article by Peggy O'Hare, and they have a video too that you can watch. But the funniest thing is that this guy had been robbed twice before, and because of that, he set up his store where he had to buzz you in, and he had to buzz you back out. So they couldn't get out. Even if they had robbed him and they had them tied up back there, they wouldn't have been able to get out. You know, I just think that's pretty hysterical. So everyone's like, okay, everyone in the town knew how this guy was set up. They all knew that he had these security precautions, and these four guys evidently were from out of town and didn't know anything about it. But it ended up costing them their life. So that, to me, is another Christmas bonus. I know death isn't supposed to be a Christmas present, but in a case like this where a scumbag's going in to rob a mom-and-pop jewelry store, they deserve to rot in hell. So on that note, I'm going to play another Christmas song. Here are the Venturas singing White Christmas. I absolutely love this version.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. But then I am dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days, may your days be merry and bright. And may all your Christmases be white.
Love that version. Absolutely love it. If you haven't noticed by now, I like different things. I don't like the status quo. I don't like the norm for the most part. I mean, there are some things. I mean, how do you get away from Brenda Lee's, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock. I mean, there are certain ones that, yeah, you could, you listen to every year. It's a given. You have to listen to some of them, But for the most part, things like Charlie Brown's Christmas, oh, God, stab me. Stab me 1,000 times. I want to rip out my ears. I want to stick things in my ears. I want to pluck out my eyeballs when that comes on. It's like your fingernails when you get out of the car, and your fingernails scrape against the metal, and when it's really cold, and that chill goes right up your back, and your hair stands up on end. That's what happens when I hear Charlie Brown's Christmas. It's like worse than the funeral dirges that they played in Catholic Mass. So, it's like, oh, if I never hear those they're okay to listen to while you're watching Charlie Brown's Christmas, but I don't want to hear them on the radio. They suck. They suck. Big time. Suck. Hate it. Hate the music of Charlie Brown's Christmas. But there's a lot of things I love about Christmas, and one of the things I love, one of my fondest memories of growing up and Christmas, was my parents. I told you they had 18 kids. They put out stuff the day before, so we had a traditional, tree. It was, at later years, it was a fake tree, but it was pretty, we were pretty traditional. We had the creche out. The three kings were not, they were put up on the bookshelf, because you don't put those in the manger until, in the creche, until Three Kings Day, which is the 12th day of Christmas, which most people don't even realize. Christmas starts on Christmas Day and goes until Three Kings Day, when the three kings arrive. So my parents would shut the parlor door. My mother would be in there. I told you, she takes the pictures. She used to have those headlamp type of movie cameras that, blasted you out. It was like headlights. And we'd all have to line up from youngest to oldest, the oldest holding the baby, if there was a baby at the time. And we'd all have to, could not peek in the parlor. My father would be standing in front of the parlor door. And of course, he always said, he'd look and say, "Oh, Santa didn't come. Go back to bed." And oh, Dad, no, we saw, he ate the cookies and milk, kind of thing. We always left out cookies and milk for Santa. And it was, we all had to wait. And of course, we had to drag the teenagers out of bed. And we had to make sure that the older ones who were, who had been out partying or kegging or whatever the night before, it was the 70s, remember, they, would all line up, and they looked like the cat just, something the cat just dragged in. But then my dad would open the door, and we would fall in single file into the room. My mother put the headlamps on. You see us all in the old photographs, like, oh my God, putting our hands in front of our eyes. We couldn't see. Big white blinding spots, it's pretty hysterical. And we all find a little spot on the floor or on a chair, and my father would pass out the presents. So he would get down on one knee, and he would call out and make sure that everyone got a present, and he'd try and do it in order, or make sure that everyone at least got a present before someone else got a second present. So he would get down on one knee, and you'd hear him bellow out in his big voice, "To Amy from Santa," and hand it to me, and "To John from Santa," to, "Anne from Santa." And that went on until every last gift was unwrapped. So that, it's funny when I tell people that story, they're like, okay, because most people, first of all, my parents, as I said, were older, so we did things completely different than most people my age. When I left the Franco-American community to go up to one of my girlfriend's house, it's almost like the heaven and gates opened up, and all of a sudden, she was the only girl in her family. She had the beautiful little white bedroom with the big white canopy bed and the pink, pink gingham sheets and all this kind of stuff, And here I was sharing a full-size bed with two of my sisters, And we shared a bureau, and we each had one of the bureau drawers for our clothes, and the oldest ones would get one of the little slider drawers, the slider ones at the top for all their jewelry or whatever, toiletries and stuff. So it was a completely different world. It was, I can't say that I wasn't envious, but it didn't matter. It wasn't my reality, When I went to her house, that was almost like going to Disneyland. So it was a nice vacation, to go there for the day or whatever, but it wasn't my reality. So I'd come home and, just have fun with my brothers and sisters, whatever. My cousin, who lived a street over, she was actually one of my best friends. And We made do what we had. We had a good time. Christmas was special. People would come over. We had all the kids. So people would come to our house. And, you'd be walking on Christmas wrapping paper. I mean, you couldn't even see the floor. I mean, you're talking about at least at any given time, 18 to 20 people opening presents. And my parents, they believed in, you didn't get one or two presents. We each got 15 or 16 presents, where they tried to even it out and make sure that everyone got the same amount of presents or roughly the same amount of presents. And, then, of course, any presents that we got from our godparents or, whatever, or from my father's work party. Oh, man. My father's work party would go. It was a big work party. They'd have Santa there, and they'd have shows, and they'd have all kinds of circus stuff. And then at the end, Santa would hand out a blue gift to the boys and a pink gift to the girls. Well, half the people there were letting their kids open it, so we already knew what it was, but my parents, nope, no, 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 no. You had to put that under the tree. You had to wait until Christmas morning to open. There was no opening Christmas Eve, none of that stuff. This was like really... This is when I was a little bit older, when I was like 12 or 13, when my parents started to put up the tree. So that's all that was up in the parlor was the tree. And no presents were allowed under the tree, even those from the work, you know, and the ones that we started to buy ourselves and things like this. We'd go down to McCrory's department store and buy the cheesiest trinkets. So here are my parents. Your parents think you have it bad with one or two papers, you know, coming home with these god-awful turkey, you know, turkeys made out of hands and, you know, Christmas... Christmas decorations for the tree. Can picture my parents with so many of us. I mean, we're all almost a year apart. You know, and she had, what, 18 kids in 23 or 24 years. So some of us are just barely, you know, 10 or 11 months apart. So we had a lot of fun, and we loved music. Music was an integral part of our growing up. My mother loved classical. My father loved swing and big band, anything, you know, anything after 1940 he considered, you know, new music. So he sang a lot of the old, you know, the old ditties and stuff, but there was never a dull moment in the house. When I was 12 years old, a couple of my brothers owned a pizza parlor over a few towns out, and they were in their 20s, and I think one was might have been in his late 20s, early 30s, and it was the 70s, so times were ripe for the picking for all of those pretty pink pills and those, you know, hashish and things like that. So I'm sure that they did their fair share of experimenting, put it that way. So I was getting a guitar for Christmas, and they were holding it out there so that I didn't see it, because the guitar was, the box was too big to keep here at the house. So they kept it out there at the pizza parlor, and they were going to bring it in Christmas morning. And that was my big gift. I was going to learn to play the guitar. As it turns out, my skin is too sensitive. I could never get past the trying to hold down the keys. It hurt almost like what you'd think frostbite when you start to, you know, your hands start to go numb. So my mother has the same skin. Bruise easily, scar easily. And I could not, I loved playing, but I could not callus up my fingertips enough. And it wasn't worth it for me to make them bloody and bruised. It just wasn't happening. So I'd rather be out, you know, playing kill the kid with the ball. So they bring in this guitar. I'm 12 years old in the middle of the kitchen. Here you go, Aim. It's a big bow wrapped on, you know. I rip off the paper and the big bow, and I open up the guitar box, and inside is the beautiful guitar and what was supposed to be the guitar book, you know, with the different songs and things like that. But instead, my brothers evidently were they had one too many little tokes or pops or pills or whatever, because what was in there instead was a penthouse. And this particular penthouse had, like, there probably were 100, it was like an anniversary edition of there was like 100 naked ladies all over the cover, small naked ladies all over the cover. And here I am opening it up to the whole family, and I'm looking at it going, look on my face again, I was so perplexed. I'm like, what in the, and I was like, no, oh! You know, my brothers grab the book, they go out to the car and try and find the guitar book, and, you know, it was just, you couldn't have made it up, you couldn't have made that scene any better. It was so perfect, opening that up in front of my parents, them, you know, and the look on my face must have been absolutely hysterical. So that was another, you know, funny story of Christmas memory for me. So that, I'm going to play another Christmas song.
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, well, this is the final bit of the show. I just want to make sure that everyone still is remembering our troops overseas. I want to thank all of our warriors. I want to wish them a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah if they're Jewish. I don't believe in Kwanzaa, so I'll have to, you know, bypass that one. But I want to make sure that everyone keeps the troops in their thoughts and prayers. I'm hoping that you do. I'm hoping that people will touch base with those they know are overseas. Let them know that they're not forgotten. My new venture, Pennies for the Troops, is just about up and running, and you can go to penniesforthetroops.com to check that out, see what that's about. I'll have more on my next show. I'll be featuring that on my next show. So if you could please keep our warriors and anyone who is fighting and fighting to protect us and to keep us safe, keep them in your prayers. Make sure you touch base with any loved ones who are in the military or who you think may be having a depressing time this time of year. It's a very, very bad time for depression. And I just want to thank DC again, all of my fellow hosts. Thank you for listening. Without you, it would not be possible. I'm going to end with a different song this time, since it's a Christmas special, and I absolutely love this version. It's my favorite Christmas carol, and it is a great version. I think it's a little bit different, a little twist, and I wish you a very, very, very Merry Christmas, safe Christmas. I hope Santa brings everything that you've ever wished or desired, and I want to say thank you to all of you. Without you, it would not be possible. So this is All Out Amy saying, see ya.